Okay, what was I saying? I'm not going to apologize for going back to Philippians. So, would you join me there, please? Turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Philippians. And without apology, we're going to go on and look at something. We briefly breezed over it last week, but the verse 16 of Philippians 3 has been encouraging me all week. And I thought that just maybe it might encourage you as well. And this is where Paul, as he finishes his exhortation about pressing on, he says, however, let us keep living by that same standard which we have attained. Now, you will perhaps remember some of the words that Paul uses in this section when he talks about the resurrection or when he talks about being made perfect. He uses the word obtained, and he says in verse 12, I've not obtained it yet. You see that? Not that I have obtained it or have already become perfect. So he says, I have not obtained in verse 12, and yet down in verse 16, he's speaking of attained. Not obtained, but attained. That's just two letters difference right there, isn't it? But it's really a world of difference. Now, by obtained, and he means obtained the resurrection or become perfect, he means what he describes at the very end of the chapter, which is beautiful. So let me read this, and you look at verse 20 and 21. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Well, there's a verse on sovereignty, but even more is a verse on glory. And oh, what it speaks of, what he's describing. This is what he means by obtaining, actually being transformed into the very image of Christ. And then by attaining or attained, he is speaking of what happens when verse 14 is pursued. He said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I may not have obtained, but I have attained some things. Does that make sense? Let me reword this. The Christian can never say, nor should he or she say, I have arrived, but they can say, I have advanced. And that's an encouraging thought, isn't it? He or she may say, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I was. Actually, ground has been gained. We have taken some ground for God, and this is what Paul is describing about having attained. And then, his point then, is hold that ground, right? Here's the verse again. Let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Now that word standard, if you have it in your Bible like I have it in mine, it's italicized, which means it's not actually there in the Greek. They're furnishing this to supply the thought. The thought is there, but the actual translation would be something like this. Let us keep following in line. Do you see that in your marginal? Do you have that in marginal reading? Let us keep following in line. We have been marching in a direction. Let's keep going. We have been following our leader. Let's continue to follow. There is a standard, if you will. And Paul says in verse 17, follow me, because I'm following Christ, he'll say in another place. And observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. And so the apostles would lay down for the first church this example. And oh, the example that Paul is talking about. I press on. I stretch forward. I reach for the prize. That is the example. That's the standard. And so let us keep going on with that. Hold that ground. So what encouraged me this week in an interesting way was, are you praying more? Question. Then the exhortation, we don't stop. Don't stop praying more. Are you reading the scriptures more? Trying to memorize them, trying to get the thought, trying to ask the Lord, what are these beautiful passages saying, not just in their teaching capacity, what are they saying to me? What is the Lord's word to me? Are you reading it more and loving it more? Well, keep this up. Keep living by that same standard to which you've attained. Has love for God's people deepened? Now's not the time to stop loving them, is it? Love them more. Has love to God increased? And if there is anything that would encourage our hearts, it would be a fresh sense of love to the Lord Jesus Christ and ever deepening. And when that begins to happen, when you go from glory to glory and more of the Lord becomes precious to you, something more of his majesty, something of his sovereignty, something of his absolute transcendent glory is brought home to your soul, then, well, we don't necessarily want to be like Peter. We understand Peter. Lord, let's put up a tabernacle right here. When he saw the transfiguration, let's stay right here. But what the point was to Peter, don't lose this. You have that sense of who Jesus is. Don't lose that. You saw him transfigured before you. That's who he is. Don't let go of that. And then you hear Peter talking about this in his epistles, don't you? We saw it. We had the word made more sure to us. We beheld his glory. Has love to God increased? Have you seen more of his greatness? Has he whispered more in your ear? Let go of this. Pick up that. Is the Spirit weaning you away from the world more and more? Well, now's not the time to go back and pick the world back up. It's the time to say, like old Uncle Vassar, this world and I have forever parted company. Well, this is the kind of idea. What can we say about the mission? Have we been praying more and been praying long for revival? Has God put it on our hearts to see that the church is in a really kind of a desperate place, and that unless the Lord move in power upon her again, she threatens to become a corpse? Well, we pray. And Paul would say, that standard that you've attained to, keep living by that. Don't stop praying. Now, that's all nice, isn't it? It sounds lovely. It is lovely. It's encouraging thought. It can be a directive to you. It can be a directive to me. It has been an encouragement to me. Keep this alive. Don't stop. When you're not feeling much, it's no time to stop. This is that word that comes and says, keep living by that same standard. Keep walking in that line that you're walking in as you follow Christ. Now, I know it's easy to slide back, isn't it? It's easy to be quenched. We are living in days when it seems every step is contested, every word is challenged, every thought is debated. We can't hardly open our mouths or take an action for God in our land, it seems, without being slapped in the wrist. It's easy to slide back. Now, what happens when that happens? Well, I love some things that Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, he says, now I know, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. If you could think of anything about Timothy, what do you know about him? A little timid, a little retiring, a little shy perhaps, not the sort like Paul that would put himself forward. In fact, he had a delicate constitution, that something in his tummy would be upset from time to time. Well, what does Paul say? I remind you to kindle afresh. I love that. That means if one who has walked with Paul and heard Paul preach and been there in the apostolic outpouring of power can have this need to be reminded to stir up within him what is within him, then it encourages me. It encourages my heart. If I think, what was that standard to which I'm supposed to keep? How did Paul put that? What is that standard that I'm supposed to keep living by? What is that that I've attained to? What did I attain to? Where did it go? Is it slipped through my fingers? And thanks be to God for his mercy who says, stir it back up. Paul says, it's in you, Timothy. God has put a good deposit in your soul. It's in you. Now, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And so whatever it was that God gave to Timothy through Paul's prayer, Paul is saying, now you take those embers, blow on them. What happens when you blow on the embers? Well, they heat back up, don't they? They start to glow again. Put a little bit more fuel there, and yet for a while the fire will be there again. What Paul is saying to Timothy is those embers are there. Now, we never outgrow this. Keep living by that standard to which you have attained. We never lose that. But we can slip back. And I think in the Old Testament they would say something like this. Now, when you turn to the left, is that stage right? Or when you turn to the right, you're going to hear a voice behind you. You have been following one on the road. You've been in line with him, and suddenly, for some reason, you drifted off this way, or you drifted off that way. Who does not know what that means? Well, thanks be to God. He is a good shepherd, and we hear a voice behind him. That means he is still on the path, isn't he? He says, come on back. This is the way. Walk therein. Or let's think briefly of what the Lord said to the church in Ephesus. Oh, they were great, weren't they? They were the orthodox ones. They were the ones who tested. They were the ones who probed. They were the ones who, and this is what Paul had told them to do. Don't lose this. Don't let savage wolves are coming in, and I want you to watch. And so they were watching and watching and watching. And he says, I know your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate evil men. I know you put to the test those who call themselves apostles. They are not. You have perseverance. You've endured for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary. But I have this against you. They have maintained part of that standard, but not all. And you could say they have not maintained the most important part of the standard to which they had attained. You've left your first love, Jesus says. The prescription for this problem is like someone says, it's the three R's. Remember, repent, return. Remember from where you've fallen. Repent and do the deeds you did at first, and return. And so there is this offering by our Lord Jesus to this entire church to go back to what they knew. You hear the voice behind you? You have drifted a bit this way. Come on back. And you live to the entire standard to which you attained. The point of this is the goal is not just adequacy. Our goal that we aim at is not pretty goodness. I'm groping for words here. What is it? It's excellence. It's more than that. It is perfection itself. I press, Paul says. I reach. I haven't attained it, but I keep pressing on. That is the standard. That is the goal. Now, let me read to you a little bit from a dear old saint who's gone on to be with the Lord. And his name is Vance Heffner. Anybody know the name Vance Heffner? I've mentioned him a few times. Let me read to you a little paragraph from him. He's talking about these things, about returning. He said, it amounts to this. What we need is a revival. If you can't have one in your church, then you get along with God and you have one yourself. You tell them you're slipping. You tell them you're getting over it. Tell them you're getting used to being a Christian and that you don't like it. You get back past all the world confusion and the church quarrels and the differences among the saints and the weaknesses of the brethren. You get back to Christ, to one you can trust. Come to him afresh and fall in love with him again and get such an eyeful and heartful of him that you feel like you did when you were first converted. If it brings tears to the eyes and a tremor to the voice and an amen to the lips, well and good. If someone thinks you're having softening of the brain, tell them it is softening of the heart and that you are getting over hardening of the arteries. Maybe you will strike fire in other hearts and start a revival. Certainly you'll come nearer doing so than by criticizing the preacher or watching the faults of the deacons and the frailties of the missionary society. Whatever it costs, no price is too great to kindle aflame the fires of our first love.